I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, hail thee as the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. Mortals, join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. Father, love is reigning o'er us. Brother, love binds man to man. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music lifts us onward in the triumph song.
Thank you, choir, for calling us to worship with that wonderful song. And thank you, my friend, for joining me for this edition of The Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. On today's program, we're returning to our study in the book of 2 Corinthians. My teaching today is titled Contagious Joy. So if you're in a place where you can conveniently pick up your Bible, you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, so you can be ready when I read the scripture. Because our study today is about joy, I want to share with you the joy expressed by some of our radio listeners from around the world. An 82-year-old man from Nepal called the local FM radio station where he hears our broadcasts. The radio station staff then put him in contact with Transworld Radio in Nepal. They produce our Nepali language program, Asha Ko Kiran, which means Rays of Hope. The program airs on 32 stations across the country of Nepal. This listener from Nepal shared how the radio programs have brought him many spiritual blessings. He is happy right now since he knows he will be saved and have eternal life, even in his old age. He speaks the gospel with such wisdom, and radio programs were powerful tools for igniting his faith. And then the TWR staff were able to connect him with a local church where he can find fellowship and he can be taught in the ways of the Lord. Praise God! What a blessing to help this elderly man experience assurance of salvation and then to help connect him with other believers. Here's another response, this one from our Arabic language broadcasts to the Middle East. He writes, I'm an Egyptian man, 36 years old. I'm a Muslim. But after listening to many of your episodes, I want someone to help me understand Christianity better. I'm becoming more attached to Jesus Christ because of your program. I need to communicate with someone who will help me in my new findings and knowledge of Christ. My heart is overflowing with a new feeling, and all of this is pushing me toward Jesus. I might be considered a long journey to some people, but I'm hoping you'll tolerate me and help me. I'd be very grateful if you would answer me. Isn't that amazing? You know, this kind of response is increasing among Muslim listeners. Thank God for the producers of the Arabic program who take the time necessary to answer the many questions this man has about the Bible and about Jesus. And you know something? These kinds of responses are only possible because people just like you pray and give to make these broadcasts available. God uses your prayers and gifts to finance the teaching of His Word. Then the Holy Spirit anoints the Word and applies it to the hearts of the listeners, drawing them to Himself. Isn't it awesome that we get to partner with God in the work of redemption? Like the listeners who wrote these responses, I too am glad that the Lord laid His hands on me.
Oh, I know the Lord, I know the Lord, I know the Lord laid His hands on me.
Yes, I know the Lord, I know the Lord, I know the Lord who laid his hands on me.
Did ever you see the light of day?
I know the Lord who laid his hands on me.
When Jesus washed my sins away,
I know the Lord who laid his hands on me. Oh, I know the Lord, I know the Lord, I know the Lord who laid his hands on me. Yes, I know the Lord, I know the Lord, I know the Lord who laid his hands on me.
Oh, wasn't that a happy day?
I know the Lord who laid his hands on me.
When Jesus washed my sins away,
I know the Lord who laid his hands on me. I know the Lord, I know the Lord, I know the Lord who laid his hands on me. Yes, I know the Lord, I know the Lord, I know the Lord who laid his hands on me.
My Lord's done just what he said.
I know the Lord who laid his hands on me.
He healed the sick and he raised the dead.
I know the Lord who laid his hands on me. Oh, I know the Lord, I know the Lord, I know the Lord who laid his hands on me. Yes, I know the Lord, I know the Lord, I know the Lord who laid his hands on me. I know the Lord who laid his hands on me.
Has the Lord laid his hands on you? If so, then you should be a joyful person. You have been blessed above millions of people around the world who've never heard of Jesus and his love for them. According to Galatians 5:22, joy is one evidence of the Holy Spirit living in you. And joy, contagious joy, is the subject of my teaching for today. So let's get started. I begin my teaching today with a couple of questions for you. What is the value of unity in the body of Christ? And then, what is the primary response to that unity? Listen to the words of Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Now, there are two similes in this brief psalm that illustrate the value of unity, but because these were written in a different time and a different culture from ours, it's easy to miss their meaning. The details of how the holy anointing oil was compounded are recorded in Exodus chapter 30, and you can read them sometime at your leisure. This oil was made from the very finest ingredients, and it was very fragrant. It was used only for anointing the priests and the furnishings of the tabernacle. To use it for something else was completely forbidden. Anointing with this oil signified that something was being set apart or made holy to the Lord. So its composition and its limited use both made it very precious. And you know, unity among God's people is precious too, partly because it's so rare. And then what about the dew of Hermon? Well, the dew of Hermon is completely different from the ordinary dew in North America. It's a phenomenon peculiar to Palestine and to the East. It's a soft mist that comes from the Mediterranean during the summer when the heat is the greatest and the country is burning up. This mist is attracted by the coolness of the inland heights, and then it condenses in abundant moisture upon their sides and creeps down upon the plains, reviving and refreshing everything that's green. It comes first of all to Mount Hermon, and it helps to keep up its continuous snow cover, and then to fill its springs, and feed its cedars. And then it flows down and makes the grain to grow green in the valleys, and the vines to swell out their purple grapes in the vineyards. These similes involve a blessing, and that blessing is life forevermore. Spiritual life, with its abundant blessings, is signified in the anointing oil, and physical life sustained by the growth of abundant vegetation. And so, when we experience unity in the body of Christ, it involves the whole person, spiritual and physical. And then we might ask, what is the basis of this unity? Jesus, in his words that are recorded for us in John 17:17-21, points to truth as the basis of unity. He prays that we, that's you and I, as his followers, would be sanctified by God's truth, and then that will lead us to unity. According to Ephesians 4:3, that unity is gifted to us believers by the Holy Spirit, but then we're responsible to maintain what has been given to us. So, what is the primary response of believers when unity is experienced? Well, that's what we want to learn from our continuing study from 2 Corinthians. We focus in this episode on the final verses of chapter 7, and I've titled our study, Contagious Joy. So here is the Word of God from 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verses 13-16. Therefore, we have been comforted in your comfort, and we rejoiced exceedingly more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. For if in anything I have boasted to him about you, I am not ashamed. But as we spoke all things to you in truth, even so our boasting to Titus was found true. And his affections are greater for you as he remembers the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. Therefore I rejoice that I have confidence in you in everything. This text outlines the blessed effects of contagious joy in the lives of believers and the church when unity is realized. The first effect of contagious joy is it invigorates the spirit. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, Paul wrote, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep." The context of that verse is the importance of love and unity among believers. And here in our text, Paul is taking his own advice. He is overjoyed at the joy of Titus. Paul writes about the refreshment of spirit that Titus experienced because the Corinthian believers responded positively to Paul's correction. Their genuine repentance, which we looked at in our previous teaching, restored them to unity in Christ, and it restored the unity among them. That's something to be excited about. And that excitement, or that joy, is invigorating. It's life-giving. You and I both know that when unity is absent, then strife and division create tension. Unless the issues that cause the tension are resolved, then that tension remains elevated. It's spiritually, emotionally, and physically draining. All of us have experienced what that's like. Back in chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians and verse 4, Paul talks about the anxiety he experienced because of the conflicts that were going on in the church at Corinth. He said he had much affliction, tears, and anguish of heart. Conflict is depressing. It robs us of our joy, and we just wish it would go away. But when conflict is resolved, there is comfort and overflowing joy. Verse 14 of this text informs us that Paul had boasted to Titus that the Corinthian believers would do the right thing. Paul was sure of that. They would respond to the severe letter Paul had sent by Titus' hand. Try to imagine yourself in Titus' position, carrying that letter, being the bearer of bad news, so to speak, and wondering how the letter and you would be received by the church in Corinth. And so over and over in your mind, you replay the possible responses of the people that you must meet, the people to whom you must deliver this message. And then in fear and trembling, you deliver the letter, and wonder of wonders, it's received with meekness and repentance. You know, I've had some experiences like this in life where the joy was so profound, it seemed like my heart would burst. I remember one particular experience as a young man when I turned on the music in my car and I sang at the top of my lungs because of the joy I felt inside. My spirit was so invigorated that I couldn't keep the joy inside. I had to express it. You know, I fear, brothers and sisters, that we're much too hesitant to share our joy. And when we refuse to share it, we might be robbing someone of the encouragement they need right at that very moment. Proverbs 12:25 says, "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad," or brings joy to that heart. So contagious joy invigorates the spirit. Let's share our joy to the glory of God. And then there's another effect of contagious joy. It increases love. Paul speaks in verse 15 of Titus' inward affection. Now, in the King James Version, this is the same word in 2 Corinthians 6:12 that's translated as bowels. Because in the Hebrew mind, the bowels were the innermost parts of the human body, and they were considered to be the place of our tenderest affections. And so Paul is talking here about genuine love. Now, we know that Paul loved the believers in Corinth. He had planted the church there, and he spent 18 months discipling them in the ways of the Lord. His love for them was tested by their squabbling about personalities and also because of their tolerance of open sin in their congregation. But Paul's love motivated him to write a severe letter of rebuke that has been lost to us. That very same letter was delivered by Titus. Genuine love reminds people of their commitments, and it holds the truth before them, much like one would use a mirror. Titus' love for the Corinthian believers was growing. It was more abundant than it had been before. Why? Because he remembered their obedience and how they had received the letter of correction from Paul with fear and trembling. And he remembered how that affected their response to him. You see, as the bearer of the letter, he probably expected their scorn and rejection, but instead they welcomed him in their genuine repentance. Paul states in verse 13 that he was filled with exceeding joy because of Titus' joy. If you think that didn't increase his love for Titus and for the Corinthian believers, then I think you've missed an important point. You know, in Scripture, the connection between joy and love is unmistakable. Listen to the words of Jesus from John 15. "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." So I conclude, obedience leads to fullness of joy or contagious joy. And fullness of joy leads to greater love for each other. If you and I are able to genuinely rejoice with those who rejoice, I believe our love for them will deepen. And then there's yet a final effect of contagious joy. It inspires confidence. Look with me at the closing verse of our text. "Therefore, I rejoice that I have confidence in you in everything." Now, the bulk of this chapter, from verse 6 through 16, expresses Paul's joy in the obedience of the Corinthian believers, and that joy gave him the confidence that they would continue to grow in their faith and love. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, he wrote, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." I believe the Apostle John must have had this same confidence when he wrote these words in his third epistle and verses 2-4. "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And so here again we see the connection between truth, obedience, and joy. Contagious joy inspires confidence. Confidence in God, and confidence in God's people. That's because contagious joy can only be experienced by those who know Jesus in a personal way. Unbelievers can experience happiness, but not the contagious joy of the believer because they don't know the source of truth or joy. They haven't experienced the joy of sins forgiven, or the joy of being adopted into God's family, or the joy of obedience to God's commands. The believers in Corinth, in spite of their spiritual immaturity, were God's children. When they repented of their self-centeredness and their casual acceptance of sin in the middle of them, they experienced genuine, God-honoring, contagious joy. And you know something? You and I can have that same joy today. Now, one more time, here are the effects of contagious joy. It invigorates the spirit. So, let's not be hesitant to share our joy. And then, contagious joy also increases love among the believers. If you and I are able to genuinely rejoice with those who rejoice, our love for them will grow deeper. And finally, contagious joy inspires confidence in both God and His people as He completes His work of grace in them. And so I close with this question. Are you experiencing the effects of contagious joy in your life? And if not, why not?
You are the river of life. You are the joy of my soul. You are the raging river out of control. Riding the waves of your glory to depths of joy.
Does the joy of knowing Jesus flow through your life like a river? If it doesn't, it can. Jesus said in John 10:10, "I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." And then in Psalm 16 and verse 11, David wrote these words, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Fullness of joy can be yours today by repenting of your sin and accepting Jesus' offer of eternal salvation. I hope God's word has spoken to your heart. And if you have questions about how you can have contagious joy, or if you'd like a copy of this teaching, just write to us. We'd be happy to send to you a printed manuscript or a digital copy of this teaching. Just ask for it by the title, Contagious Joy. Our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org. That's H-O-P-E @heraldsofhope.org. Our mailing address is The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. You can also use this information to request a print or digital copy of today's teaching, Contagious Joy. To review today's teaching or to listen to archived programs, log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen at your convenience. If you want to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. And we invite you to help support this ministry financially by donating securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. And of course, you can also mail your gift to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, will enable The Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now I hope you'll join me next week here on The Voice of Hope as we continue our study in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. And until we meet again,
I'm redeemed.